1-800-570-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Rick, could you get the screeching harpy back? It keeps my blood circulating and my nerves on edge.
See, I told you I should have come in here and just...
Rick, dudes can only cry when your car is repossessed. Oh,
yeah.
Your daughter marries an a-hole or when Jolie returns from Egypt. That's Mike in Portland. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Later this hour, we got Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero and CNN radio correspondent Jim Rube is going to be here. You know, they keep showing Muammar Gaddafi on television. He looks like this bizarre... You know what it looks like? It's like he's sort of the portrait of Tom Jones, you know, where Tom Jones Tom Jones himself isn't aging, but Gaddafi looks like a walnut in a wig, man. That's terrible. It's a bad scene. All right, we'll get back. We got more of this on the way. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. This is Tim Riley's in the KOTK newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's News with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Jerry Lewis will soon show off his new thinner physique to an audience in Vegas. The veteran entertainer checked out of the Sunrise Hotel after spending 2 months weaning his body off of steroid medication he took for a life-threatening respiratory condition. It caused him to gain excessive amounts of weight. His manager said Lewis has been working out 4 hours a day. Following a strict diet, he shed 50 pounds. His new stage show opens March 3rd at the New Orleans in Vegas. Daniel Bedingfield said the head brace fitted to his skull following a car crash in New Zealand is the biggest chick magnet he ever had. How about this, kids? The singer will have to wear the brace for at least 6 weeks while he recovers from his injuries. But, he says, I've kissed 8 women so far wearing this thing.
A head brace is not a chick magnet. I don't care what... You know, the weird thing about this, though, we were talking about my big, fat, obnoxious fiancé. And the ironic thing about that television show is that the guy is so hilarious that he undoubtedly is just going to get women by the score. A, because he's, you know, he's star of a reality show, and B, because the guy is hilarious. I mean, he did this thing last night where he was...
Women do love guys that have a sense of humor.
Telling you, man, it
or
doesn't
make them laugh.
That's the thing, is it like doesn't matter if you're... See, that's the advantage of being a guy. Doesn't matter. You can be overweight. You can be stuffed like a Christmas ham, you know? But it's like, you know, you can make a chick laugh, they're totally going to be into you.
The king of Swaziland has postponed the start of the school year by a week so boys can participate in one of the country's most sacred rituals, weeding the royal fields. Opposition leaders and many parents have criticized the move by King Mwatsi, which affects some 30,000 students. Apparently, this goes back to ancient times. Traditional astronomers determine the dates of the ceremonies just weeks before they take place. Private schools choosing to ignore the they might be in trouble. So, why not pick leaves in Swaziland?
What the hell are you talking about?
The king of Swaziland.
Okay.
Are we sure it's not Africa?
I just quit listing.
Swaziland is in Africa.
Moving on.
Now, I'm all done. I'll see you guys later.
Did we hurt Tim's feelings?
No, I didn't.
No, I'm fine.
I was just asking what we were talking about.
Shame on you.
I didn't do anything. Shut your hole. I wasn't doing anything. I was just doing my thing over here.
You should go give him a hug.
I quit. No. I quit. I'm not. No.
I don't want a hug.
Men don't hug either. They don't cry. They don't hug. That's it, man. Subject line of this. All I heard was we were suddenly talking about Swaziland, and I tuned out many, many, many stories before that, and so I didn't know what was going on, so I thought I'd...
I was looking at pictures of cute boys.
I thought I'd be quiet. Coming up later this hour, Clyde Lewis is going to be with News at Ground Zero, and CNN radio correspondent Jim Rupert here with Kristen from accounting. We've got this. Rick, I cried when the fat guy in Full Metal Jacket was beaten up by everyone. The poor bastard. We've got this. We knew this would happen. Weighing in, Aaron, Geek in the City. Subject line, final rule on men crying. Rick. Here are the only movies a real man can cry at. Shane, as he rides away with the boy. That's completely
true.
Oh,
yeah.
You totally... See, that's one of those... It's like the other rule takes effect there. It's like there are movies that you're required to cry at the end of if you're a guy. Old Yeller, or any movie that involves an animal giving his life for his master. Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Star Trek Generations, when Kirk dies on the Enterprise B. Let's see, any Lord of the Rings movie. Brian's Song. And then he says, when Shatner dies for real, I'm going to be a blithering, weeping idiot. There you go. The geek has spoken. Also, screw that guy who called in about Sinatra crying. He openly wept at Sammy Davis Jr.'s funeral. Suck it, you tool. Jesus.
All okay. right. Wow. See, Aaron's not taking any guff from anybody anymore.
He's really not. P.S. F. Matt with the Enterprise's destruct sequence.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
All right. I completely cried at the end of... see, because the thing is, I'm just a big sissy, man. I cried at the end of Bridges of Madison County. I mean, I remember just, and the girl wasn't crying.
You really shouldn't tell people that.
No, because, well, how much lower could I sink? We were talking earlier, but I was looking up, I had a hip-hop online dictionary so I could figure out how to spell mad props.
Yeah, you really shouldn't tell people about that either.
What else could I do, man? No, I remember going to see the Bridges of Madison County, and I'm there with this girl, I was in Utah, and the movie's playing, and there's that whole sequence, you women know what I'm talking about, there's that sequence there at the end. Meryl Streep is sitting in the truck in the rain, and it's Clint Eastwood, so I mean, you're kind of allowed. So there's Clint Eastwood sitting there across the street in the rain looking sad, and she's done that thing where she's got her hand on the handle of the door getting ready to open it. And, you know, and of course the girl I'm with is just sitting there watching the film, you know, just nonplussed. And I'm just sitting there just crying away. So. Rick, I have a weird one. I teared up during that scene in Jurassic Park when you first see the dinosaur. When I was a kid, I was way into dinosaurs, and seeing the first one was a bit overwhelming. That's got to be about the geekiest thing ever.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rick. Kevin and the Coov.
It really is.
What movie was it?
Jurassic Park, when he first saw the dinosaurs.
See, The Land Before Time. Do you remember that cartoon?
I completely cried at The Land Before Time. I should quit admitting this stuff. Nah, it's too late. I've already ruined my street cred.
Yeah.
I've already lost my bulletproof rep.
Yeah, with the mad love for props or whatever.
No, because Land Before Time. Land Before Time has got the death of a parent. You can, and it's the mom. Guys are allowed to cry when it's something dealing with mom. You know what I mean? You have to. It's like a rule, you know. And there's that whole sequence where Littlefoot's mom died, and then they play that. Don't lose your way, you know. And then he's like off.
How do you remember this?
I mean, I don't know.
You know, and I'm shocked that Rick is thinking that he lost his street cred, because we all thought you were so manly before.
Come on, it's, and then he, like, sees the shadow and he thinks it's his mom, but it turns out it's just his own shadow on the wall.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh.
We need to...
Greg, you're a full-time listener on a cell phone. What's up?
All hail Aaron Geek in the City. Hey,
yes.
There's one more movie you're allowed to cry at.
Yeah.
And that's Saving Private Ryan at the very end when he takes his grandkids.
Oh, when they're at the grave at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, especially after, you know, a few glasses of Wild Turkey, man, fall like a baby.
Well, you're. I mean,
but then it's okay because you're a real man because you're drinking Wild Turkey.
Yeah. Well, that.
Well,
yeah. Because
just being a veteran, also, you know, I hate going into. Cemeteries, I really do. I've got a few friends planted in them. And, you know, at the end of that, I was just like, oh, God, this sucks.
Yeah. No, it's balanced out because there's gunfire and explosions, and then you know, and then also the crying later. See? I'm not alone, you dicks. All right, that's Greg.
All right, I've got one that's absolutely shameful to admit.
Not like me crying at the Bridges of Madison goddamn
all right,
county.
Well, it might not be that shameful, but... At the end of Armageddon.
Oh,
not,
God.
Not when Liv Tyler's talking to her dad. Not the Paul Bruce Willis scene. At the end, when they're on the runway, and the guy comes up and wants to shake the hand of the daughter of the bravest man.
Man,
that line is so shameless, but it just, like, it gets me every time, man. It's terrible.
It's 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Yeah, any chance I had of ever having a rep, that's gone away. That's frittered away like so much water on a skillet. Rick, I'm crying now. Crying after hearing that my hero went to see the Bridges of Madison County. What the
I
F?
I told you.
You have lost points today, my friend, Stephen Gresham. P.S. F. Matt with the lace panties you must be wearing, Rick.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
I went with a chick. It's not the same thing. It totally, you can...
Well, and it was one thing to experience it, though, Rick. You didn't need to tell us all.
Yeah, well, I know.
So you go see that movie with a chick. You need to have, like, the little earpiece in with your Walkman.
So you can be listening
to the game, you know.
Yeah. Good Lord, Rick, did you cry during... This is from Todd. Did you cry during Beaches, too? It is a sad day among men.
That's my movie.
F. Matt with your wussy ass.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
I don't cry at anything that's...
Friendship? Oh, a daughter that loses her mother.
No, I don't. See, I don't cry. I don't cry during anything that has a song by Bette Midler in it. There's
Wind
nothing.
Beneath My Wings is a fantastic song.
Whatever you say. I don't cry with any, and nothing.
Whatever, Pansy.
Nothing. Hey, there's a line. Crying during Beaches is not the same thing as crying at the end of Rocky. You know, it's not the same thing at all.
But it
Maybe
is the
not
same
guy.
But it is the same as crying at the end of Bridges of Madison County.
Okay.
Well, it is the same concept.
It's got Clint Eastwood in it.
She loses her best friend of her entire life and has to take care of her daughter.
Oh, whatever.
And the funeral scene.
Okay.
We're just going to call that the Eastwood defense.
I was going to say, it's got Clint Eastwood in it. And he's looking. It's got Clint Eastwood and he porks a hot, lonely housewife. It's right there. You can cry at that. I mean, that cancels it out. Cancels it out. I also cried. No, I didn't cry. Did I cry at the Shawshank Redemption? Probably. Shawshank Redemption
I'm a big weepy mess from the beginning.
Come on. That's got Morgan Freeman. That's another one where you're sort of grandfathered in. You can totally do. You can get your weep on at the Shawshank Redemption. Because you know why? Because here's the thing. Because it's like the same reason that men talk about pop culture so much. Because it's like, what are we going to talk about? Our feelings? It's like men... The reason that men weep at movies like Rocky is because it's like... Because men don't actually have feelings. Men just sort of have proxies for their feelings. You know what I mean? Like, women cry because they actually have emotions. Men sort of have emotional stand-ins. You know what I mean? It's like having a pinch hitter. Men sort of have pinch emotions.
You made me feel like Stallone at the end of Rocky.
Yeah, it's like, you know, men don't actually feel anything. But it's like you can go see Stallone. And you can feel something through. It's like that sequence in Rocky where he's right before the big fight where he's laying on Adrian's bed and he's going, I just want to go the distance. I just don't want to be another loser for the neighborhood. You know, and it's, come on, you can't front on that. You a-holes.
Well, no, okay, so back to the original question.
Yes?
Well, because I have a question back at you. So what I'm wondering is, I think it's more appropriate for guys to cry with other guys rather than to, like, cry in front of your chicks.
That is true.
I'd go the whole other way.
Well,
that's what I'm wondering.
You're not going to cry in front of another guy when you're watching a movie.
But you're all admitting
do it. But, so. You know, but that's like saying that you wank, and so therefore you'd wank in a room of other guys. Not unless you're British. You know, you don't... British people do that. No, this is well known. British people wank in large groups. Everybody knows that.
Well, that's because they have less, you know.
No, it's like a bonding thing over there. It's because they have a... You all know that.
Yeah, okay.
Never mind. No, I used to work...
Is that what a British friend of yours told you?
I used to... Okay, look, the thing is, he was amazed that I was amazed by... I used to work with this guy named Martin, who was British. He did the midday show down at that when I was working in Salt Lake. And, what were we talking about?
Wanking in front of each other.
How did it come up? I forget exactly how it came up, but we were talking about, because he'd gone to boarding school. He'd gone to, like, a private boys' school. And we were talking about something or other, and there was, you know why? It's because Salt Lake had passed a law. In Salt Lake, in South Salt Lake, it is illegal to masturbate. We had found that the city council had passed some ordinance, I think because of, like, porn stores.
That explains a lot.
They had, there's a lot of repression. They had, because of porn stores, and people go in, and they watch the movie in the booth, and, you know, they get the wank on. And so they wanted to get rid of that, so they actually passed this law making, for a time, masturbation illegal, period. And so we were, you know, doing what men do, making a lot of jokes about it, you know, and ha-ha-ha, masturbating. And we were talking about, you know, guys who would go into the porn store to get the, get their solo groove on. And Martin just out of the blue goes, hey, God, it's like when you're going to boarding school and you and the other boys go out into the woods late at night and stand in a circle. And then there was like this long pause. And we all like slowly turn and look at him and we're like, what? And he goes, oh, God, like you haven't done it. Come on, please. We've all done it. And we're just looking at this guy with this long, and he said, you know, 2 a.m., the headmaster's asleep, and you go out to the woods and stand on a mound and give it a wank. We've all done it. Didn't you do it? Come on. Yeah, go on. You know, and it's like, it's totally, and apparently it was like some big British boarding school ritual that you go out and you'd whack one out, you know, like standing in a bit like a Mexican standoff, I guess, where you just, the thing.
Don't they
Boy, this
do
show
that?
Took a really weird turn.
Don't they do
suddenly.
That in fraternities or something?
That's
they
only,
make you do that?
Only at WSU. They do that at, or
I
no, which is the one in Pullman? Yeah, WSU?
Yeah, WSU.
I remember at WSU, I think it was WSU, when I was still living in Washington State, we've suddenly gone from the bridges of Madison County to circle wanking to when I was in, I was like 89.
Making fun of my college yet again.
Well, they found like a sheep in one of the dorm, like one of the frat houses or something, and it turned out there'd been some, whatever, like a, hate, you know, whatever. Like a,
Stop.
Like a, not a, what
like,
is it?
Like a frat ritual?
Like a frat induction or indoctrination ritual, and it was like you and a sheep and.
What, initiation?
And whatever, cameras, yeah. It was you and a sheep and some Barry White and the, you know.
Yeah, they did some messed up stuff to those boys.
There's that other things where all the guys stand around the Trisket. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Oh. Okay, let's just all stop and get a hold of ourselves. Not literally. Let's, come on, you know, 2 a.m., the woods, the mound, the wank. Here you go. And he was this great guy. He was like 60, and he totally had, this is before Austin Powers, shirt open to the navel, big gold chain.
Did he have a lot of hair on his chest?
Yeah, and every story started with, oh God, it was 65. I was at an orgy in Los Angeles. I miss that guy. This show's become very weird very quickly. All right, we're going to come back. We got more of your phone calls. Mars Talk later on with Clyde Lewis and CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Okay. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Yeah, I didn't full on cry, but I choked up when Jam Master Jay died. What, about a year ago,
yeah,
whatever that was?
I remember we saw it on the news.
Yeah, well, it was the night we came back from a listener party. We were in La Center.
Like, holy cow.
And we came back and I turned on the news and it's like a founding member of Run DMC dead. And I remember that. Yeah, I totally choked up then. Nobody can eat me. Here's Sarah with the traffic.
All right, not seeing too many delays. Do have heavy traffic still reported eastbound on the Sunset at...
Got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. This one says, Rick, I'm a full-time drunk listener. I never call. I can't remember the phone number. I took a former fiancé to Bridges of Madison County. I feigned crying to get laid, but was really crying over the $7 ticket price in 1985. By the way, I didn't get laid, so I wept at home while watching porno. P.S. F. Matt with a British wanker.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
Well done, my friend. All right. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. All right, let's...
I was going to say, sometimes your listeners just scare me.
No, my listeners are the greatest.
Yeah, they are.
Our listeners are the
best.
But
they kind of scare me. Sometimes.
No, would you rather have Dr. Loris freaking audience? I don't think so.
Ooh, that's
talk
even
about a bunch
more
of
frightening.
Joyless, you know, just a bunch of joyless,
repressed,
tight-ass, dried-out prudes. Rick, Schindler's List. The end when the real survivors are walking past the grave in Israel.
Oh, wow.
Also, let's all just take a moment to represent with this. Also, MASH when Radar tells the operating room that Henry Blake is dead.
Oh, it doesn't matter how many times you see that.
Let's also not forget about when Radar goes home and leaves his teddy bear behind on Hawkeye's bed in the swamp. Can we all just please talk about that for a moment? And then he says, oh, and Bridges of Madison County, bite it, you pussy. All right, that's Joe in Portland. All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, the original Harry Scary Guy.
I cried when they kicked Benji's girlfriend.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that?
They kicked her and she healed over.
Just used her as a floor slipper, kicked her across the room. Turned into a floor slipper, and it was the saddest thing.
It was
thing.
That little yip.
And she goes, and it was over. She was dead. And then Benji, of course, trying to save the kids. They're doing the flashbacks to his girlfriend getting kicked. And it was just so sad because he was fighting for his name and his woman. And that,
that's
I
what I see. A hero dog.
Dogs.
Hero
yeah.
dog. Mm-hmm. Rick, you sniveling little girly man. Pull up your cuddle duds and take it like a man. P.S. I cried at the end of E.T. That's from Todd. All right. So it's like 700 Todds in the audience. We got more Todds in this audience than anybody else. All right. Let's see. We got the
Big Fish has some crying moments.
I haven't seen it, but well, that's another one. Anything where you're either a dead parent or reconciling with an estranged and or dead parent.
I just teared up, but you know where I cried in Field of Dreams when he was playing catch with his dad.
Yeah,
that just
because that's everything. That's
movie.
Dad and estranged and sports all at once.
All right.
Let's read a couple more here. Rick, how about when Frosty the Snowman melts? Come on, I know you cried.
I didn't cry for that.
That wasn't me. That was some chick. What do you want? Hey, let me ask you this though, Clyde. Who am I? Go. So we'd go out then, we'd wank in the mound.
Martin Davis.
There you go. People think I'm making him up. People think that it's like I'm some sort of a, you know.
Maybe you should make that a thing for the next listener party or something.
Uncle Martin.
Where
we all
next...
wank in a cornfield?
Yeah. Get all your listeners to stand around and
Martin
wank.
Davis. Martin Davis was Austin Powers with no hair.
Man, he really was. He had like
he had
the bad teeth and the chains and yet every story started with it was 1965 and I was banging a woman in Redondo Beach.
I was banging a 65-year-old, Rick. I was in my Mustang and then we went to a hotel and this guy with the long hair came up to me with platform shoes.
Yeah.
And he said to me, I'm in this band called Kiss.
Yeah.
And I said, why don't you wear makeup and breathe fire? And he took my advice, and that is why now they're there.
Yeah, there were these long stories he'd be told where it's like he was sort of this Gumpian figure, sort of wandering through history, creating, all great things. In just a moment, we'll welcome Jim Roop to the Rick Emerson Show. Yeah, look, it's free. All right, let's welcome, actually, from Los Angeles, our man in L.A., CNN radio correspondent, Jim Roop. How are you, my friend?
I am well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So, am I reading this correctly, or is there... I feel like there's got to be more to this. I'm reading this now from the CNN prep sheet. Jim Roop attends a NASA briefing on the Mars rover, which is expected to examine a sharp-edged rock on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. I mean, what is... So it's a rock and it's sharp and it's on Mars. And why do I care about this?
Well, it's just that whole Mars rover space exploration thing. You know, we're all searching for answers to the universe. Is it possible that this is the only hunk of dirt in the entire universe or in every galaxy that has any sort of life on it, whether it be plant, water, or human, or carbon based? I mean, it's just that constant thing that people wonder about this vast universe.
I mean, like, you're living in a state where the entire populace is having to call one of those late-night debt management services that advertises during Springer, and we're spending like $5 jillion to look at a rock that's a long way away.
Well, it's not just the rock. They'll be taking soil samples and ratting into this rock using, you know, a rat meaning a rock abrasion tool, but they want to learn a lot. They want to figure out, first of all, once we screw this planet up, where we're going to go. You know, we're on the downward trend of this puppy.
It'll just be like the cover of that first Boston album. We'll just all be
launching
into space.
We'll be heading on that ship, heading out of town.
Yeah, I guess this is presumably so we can follow this nattering insanity of putting men on Mars or something within 20 years or...
Yeah,
I guess. Or something. Which is, do you ever get the feeling that they're just? Do you ever get the feeling that the guys in NASA are just sort of like, I don't know, it's just like teenagers that have been left alone with car keys and a closet full of liquor for the weekend. You know, the mom isn't around. And let's go to Mars.
No, they act like it, man. You hear them talking about X-ray spectrometers and all this kind of stuff, and you think, geez, that's the way my kids talk about Game Boy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just too many people with too much money left alone for too long.
Well, you know, the whole problem with this going to Mars or the moon thing and having people live there for an extended amount of time. For Christ's sake, I hate putting on a jacket to go out. You didn't want to put on a spacesuit to go outside?
The only interesting thing that NASA's come up with recently is this space elevator to the moon they were talking about. Where they want to have, literally, they want to have like a big, it's like, I don't know, it's like you put, it's like a big pocket fisherman. You put one end on the moon and the other end here, and it's like this cable that's 250,000 miles long, and it's like a big, it's like one of those big laundry lines in Brooklyn that just hangs between two tenement buildings, and that's how you'd get stuff to the moon. That's at least interesting. So, I mean, the other stuff is just, you know, it's just something else I'm going to be paying for the rest of my life. It's one of the reasons I'm going to be eating cat food when I'm 50. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but at least we'll know what the dirt's like on Mars.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, you got the Golden Globes coming up on Sunday, right?
Sunday, yeah.
Right. Listen to that. Listen to that excitement.
I love
excitement.
It when he does that.
Yeah. Looking forward to that, man.
Yeah, so I guess we'll be talking to you about that. So is there anything I need to care about when it comes to the Golden Globes?
Absolutely nothing.
I didn't think so. That's I could have answered that myself, I guess. There you go. There's CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop in Los Angeles. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Trista wants to remind us that Benji's girlfriend was named Tiffany.
Okay, I figured it was Tiffany, yes.
There you go. Yeah. All right, what's going on in the world of Clyde Lewis?
Well, I guess they have decided to work on some, some technology where they can pretty much analyze whether or not you're feeling fear or love or those kind of things. They can ask you questions like, are you going to hijack this plane today? And if you say no, and they can, they put it in the eyeglasses of people who are checking you out. So, I mean, it's getting to the point now where we have to start thinking about thought crime and whether or not thought crime should be prosecuted. It's like living in the times of Philip K. Dick, Minority Report, Total Recall. The idea that now that they have all these ways that they can analyze your voice patterns, your thought patterns, and then they can use them against
you. Well, people always think that I'm being just some hophead alarmist when I talk about this, but we were talking about drug tests yesterday. Wait, this guy, this listener, emailed in. Oh, he got the job, by the way. I don't have the email in front of me, but he got the job because, not that I'm advocating this sort of behavior, because drug use is wrong, and I can't advocate you trying to confound the results of a drug test. But apparently he did something where he put something, copper something, and a drop of something. Anyway, and he whizzed, and it was clean. So, he'd just gotten high like 2 days ago, and he passed. So,
we have a guy in my forum who posted a thing called Ordering a Pizza in 2012. It's kind of interesting. It's an idea. It's a satire. Basically, what it is, you call, and you order a pizza, and they say, are you at this number, or this number? Are you at this address, or this address? He goes, how do you know I go to this address? It says, well, we have it in the information system. The guy says, okay, that's fine. I guess I'll order me a meat lover's pizza. Two of them, please. And the guy says, okay, that'll be two meat lover's pizzas. And wait a minute, we got a flag here. Your health care provider says that your cholesterol levels are too high, and therefore you can't order these pizzas. We're going to warn you.
Sign a waiver.
We won't order these. Give you these pizzas because your health care provider will not provide insurance for you.
Well, we were talking to this guy yesterday who we were talking about the drug testing. How they don't. They not only just test. They don't just test your. Like, it's not embarrassing enough that you have to pee into a cup in front of some Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
But that they do this thing where they test your sweat and your hair now.
Sure.
And you know that's exactly the same thing because that's especially if it is. Like it is, I think, at Fisher Broadcasting. God love them, great company, worked there for many years. But I got to say that they do this business where it's random drug testing, and random drug testing is patently ridiculous because that's testing you under the presumption that you might at some point in the past have gotten high or that maybe in the future you may do something that's a little bit dangerous.
Right.
They don't test you for being drunk, by the way.
No.
They don't test to see if you pounded down a bunch of old granddad before you came into work.
No.
Even though they could.
But that's the thing we need to look at, too, is that let's say, for example, you go into a store, you use a smart card, and you happen to buy a carton of cigarettes. Well, your health care provider just happens to be going through, and you have a no-smoking clause in your health care or no-smoking clause in your car insurance, and they say, oh, you bought a carton of cigarettes. What was that all about? And then they immediately deny your benefits because you've done this.
Right.
You see, this is the whole idea of information gathering and information and how they can use it against you. You know, I was pointing out to Sarah, she's involved with something called Friendster.com.
Right.
And I said to her, I said, well, you know, that's all funny and wonderful, but, you know, what better way to have the government look you up and find out all the information you need to know about where you hang out, what cigarettes you smoke, what drinks you drink, and what friends you hang
out
with?
Well, sir, people always ask me, because we've talked about the word liberal and how it's been made just like a really... People are just terrified to identify themselves as being liberal. Now, you'll tell people, you're a liberal. No, I'm not. And they're so reflexive about not wanting to be called that. But I'm like a liberal in the truest sense in that I want the government to not even know I exist. I would be happy if the government didn't even know who I was.
Well, now it's hard to be left alone. You cannot be left alone anymore. It's a matter of you have to be on the grid. They're going to make it impossible for you to stay away from the grid. And the more you get involved with internet buying, and you get involved with being on Circle of Friends and all kinds of other things, The government can get access to that. They can order that these companies surrender the information. You heard about Northeast Airlines. Right after 9/11, what do? They voluntarily gave information on all of the passengers.
And then denied it.
And then denied it. I was going to mention a store, but I don't know if it's true or not. One of the stores, with their smart cards, they gave information about people that were buying from them after 9/11. They voluntarily did this. So this means that you may not have a personal life in the next 10, 15 years. There will be no personal life. There will be nothing personal. Everyone will know your business.
All right. We'll be back. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk Tonight. AK with the guys.
Stay there.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, Sarah Dillon's got the traffic. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. The Rick Emerson
Howard
Show.
Dean, yay.
Let's hear it. Matt, can we hear it for Howard Dean? Oh, I love that guy. That is the best thing that's ever happened. I mean, how much better could that guy be? And the answer is none. None better. Yeah, I'm all about that guy.
We've seen those pictures of him today on the internet. He looks like Hitler. He's like...
Boy.
Basically.
Okay, you have to stop that. Yeah, Hitler had more style than that, though. That's just unhinged. Hitler was at least like a polished professional speaker. It's like that thing of everybody, George Bush is Hitler. You know, I wonder, you know, the thing is, I bet that it annoys Hitler, you know, wherever he is right now, whatever plane of existence Adolf Hitler's on, I bet it annoys him that we use his name on all these sort of lesser evils, you know, that we use him to do, George W. Bush is Hitler. I wonder if Hitler's at the gun, he's a piker. He's nothing. You know, Hitler was elected and all. Rick, my name is Matthias. I am 15 years old. I live in Gresham and attend Gresham High School. The summer before my freshman year, where are all these high school kids even? I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, where is it that these high school kids even learn about my show? You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not trying. I mean, it's fine. I'm glad that we're getting the seed corn. I'm just saying, I wonder where the high school dudes learn about this show. When I was in high school, man, I knew about AM, but that's because I was a tool. Anyway, the summer before my freshman year, you were raving about an Andrew WK concert you went to. At that time, I had only ever purchased a Rammstein CD and couldn't care less about anything else. After hearing your show, I went out and bought the Andrew WK CD, blah, blah, blah. Because of you, I am now into, quote, cool music, end quote. My parents used to only let me listen to classical. And I recently attended a KMFDM concert at the Roseland.
Good job.
Yeah. Best night of my life, period, he says. It was the first concert I'd ever attended. I'm sorry I missed everything else. At least Ministry might be coming back to Portland. That is so great. I can retire now. I've made a positive impact. 15 years old, only listened to classical. This show set him on the path of rock.
Now go to his one-man show and he'll set you on another path.
Dude, yeah. I'm comping this guy a ticket. I'm giving this guy a ticket right here. We're comping Matthias.
Matthias gets a comp ticket to go see Rick Emerson and
totally.
Bigger Than Jesus.
Because that's the whole story. I mean, it's people who haven't seen Bigger Than Jesus. It's this kid, this whole email I just read from Matthias. It's that story right there. You just swap out Rammstein for Zeppelin and, you know, Andrew WK for, you know, what, for Metallica. KMFDM. I didn't know they were still around. Yeah. Excellent. All right. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Say that we'll be back here faster, Pussycat.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
And Bush isn't nearly motivated enough to be Hitler.
He got the economy
Hitler
going.
Improved the economy.
People worked under Hitler.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Let's see, we got the... Rick, dude, get Clyde off there. He makes me paranoid. It makes me want to take my own life to protect my future privacy. Arg. All right. Keith, you're a full-time listener. What's up, man?
Oh, it's about how just ridiculous this drug testing is.
Ridiculous?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's an Adam Carolla reference.
Okay.
It's a person could go out, they could have all the crank, the crack, the skag, the acid, the whoopers and whoppers, and whatever else they could get their rookers on. They have a bong hit, and you're done for a week or two.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, if you work in radio, they ought to be testing people to see if they, how much whiskey they've had in the last day, because the odds are it's quite a lot. So yeah, or not. They definitely shouldn't do that. Yeah, no, I'm with you. That's Keith. All right, so what's coming up in the world of Clyde Lewis?
Well, I got a letter from David John Oates. I guess he's going to be on the show Sunday, I believe so. Reverse Speech. Which is going to be fun, because, that's always a good show, because people get to hear it. We may have some Michael Jackson reversals for really fun.
Okay.
I'm not having sex at all with anyone.
Did you see? Well, I read that interview that he did with where Yuri Geller
There's a wonderful guy right there.
That's exactly what it was.
Well,
that's like
a guy who could, bend spoons.
Well,
Yuri Geller can bend the spoons. And
I've been the truth.
Well, it's like, what's his name? The ass bag, the John Edwards guy. I see a pee somewhere in
hey,
your
you
family.
Know, I believe John Edwards.
I watched this great documentary on the Discovery Channel where they showed 2 hours of uncut footage from that show, and man, that guy was blowing every single call. That guy was getting every single one wrong.
Really?
And then they showed the 22-minute version later where he was just,
Right on.
Yeah, he was absolutely accurate. But
he basically got a ghost for me, so, it seemed to be real. He may be faking it. Who knows?
So you're doing Reverse Speech this weekend?
Reverse Speech. I had David Icke on, actually, Sunday night.
Talking about reptiles.
Oh, and you know what? He was so beautiful. He got into it, and I'm just listening to him going, yeah. Talking about, and speaking of which, look at the Oregonian today, ladies and gentlemen. Look at John Kerry's wife.
Is she a reptile?
She looks like a reptile. Look at her. She's got the flat nose. She's got the stretched skin. She looks like, it's like she shapeshifted as she hugged him. Trust me, get the Oregonian, look at the front page. She looks like a freaking reptile.
And you're a bodacious tonight.
Yeah, I'm a bodacious tonight. I speak at 8:30, 2433 Southeast Powell with Dr. Larry Johns, who is a doctor of theology, who brings me down to earth. But anyway, it's a good show.
Clyde Lewis, Ground Zero this weekend, Bodacious Classics tonight. We want to thank Simon Cowell, Charlize Theron, Ice Cube, Mr. Cube, Dick Giuliano, Jim Roop, Howard Dean, Dick Gephardt, John Kerry, Kristen from accounting, etc., so on and so forth. Rick Emerson Show is produced today and every day by the lovely Sarah Dillon for Hot Talk and Eddie KOTK. The news from Tim Riley, executive producer, 1F Matt Peterson. As always, don't let the bastards grind it out. Thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow at noon. Like us next. Bill Hendry at 7. See y'all soon. Be safe. Bye.
In Oregon and Washington!